feel an opportunity to just share his ministry and then preach the word to us tonight. So, Brother Bill, if you're ready, are you ready to roll? Yeah, come on up, brother, and introduce yourself and give him some love.
Very good. Well, hey, good evening to you. It is such a joy to be here at Heartland Baptist Fellowship. Thank you, Pastor Hedges, for the opportunity. I know this very well. It's impossible. I pastored 15 years. I had the blessing of doing that. And I know this truth very well. It is impossible to schedule every missionary that calls your office. We would like to do that, but every pastor likes to preach every now and then, right? And so for that reason, I just like to pause and say thank you to the preacher and the pastor for the kindness in allowing us to present our family and our ministry tonight. Thank you, Pastor, also for the opportunity to set up our trailer over here in your property, and that's such a blessing. And then also thank you for the time of food and fellowship before the service. So we just enjoy the time that we've only been here for a little bit, but we've enjoyed our time thoroughly, and so we just want to say thank you to Pam, Jeff, and Mary in the back. Wherever you are, thank you for, yeah, I see the hands. Yes, I see that hand. And thank you so much for your help with the technical aspects of the presentation. I was not a technical pastor. I'm not a technical missionary. And so some of you know what an IT person is, right? I'm a TI person. That's technologically incompetent. That's me. And so I really appreciate those that know what they're doing. We're going to hope and pray this works. I think it's going to work. If it doesn't work, I am prepared to present my ministry through an interpretive dance routine. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke. Some of you would like to see that, and shame on you. But anyway, so we're going to hope and pray this works, and we'll go ahead and get started and introduce our family. Some of you want to see that interpretive dance routine. So I'm hitting the clicker, and let's see here. I'm going to turn it off and on again. Yeah. Do I point back there?
It should give me good. Yeah, it's usually. Let me see if we can.
All right.
You're on.
There he goes. All right. You don't mind standing here and doing that part? No, I'm just kidding. Thanks. All right. Awesome. All right. So my wife Amy's sitting right over here. She's from Ohio, and I'm from New Hampshire. And we met in college in Florida. And after we graduated, we were married and then worked for the college for a couple of years as college representatives, traveled all over the country. God has blessed us with five boys. I have five boys and no hair, and that's why I have no hair, is because of those five boys. Cooper is 13, and he's the only one left at home. The rest are all out. That picture is a few years ago, and two of our oldest on the far right and the far left, they are married since this picture. And Bill, on the far right, he and his wife Carissa have given us our very first grandchild. And of course, you know, with all boys, we were so very, very thankful to get yet another boy. So I don't know. Pastor, you're going to have to come and hold this the whole time. So you can just advance if you want to. Pam, I'll let you do it. Feel free. It is, yes, ma'am. Yeah. All right. Yeah, there you go. So that's William Harrison Fennell, the seventh. He is our grandson, and he's in a long line of William Harrison Fennells. And so we call him Liam for short. And then the next slide, just in January, the Lord gave us another grandson. And so that is Caden Michael Fennell. That's Liam's little brother. And that's Liam now, a year and a half. Now listen, I want you to know something. These pictures have nothing to do with our presentation. But I had to put them in there because my wife made me. So there you go, all right? So we'll go ahead and advance to the next slide. And so after Amy and I worked for the college for a couple of years, the Lord brought us to my wife's home church in Mansfield, Ohio, where I for 6 years was the children's pastor. Some would say the childish pastor. And I loved doing that. That was such a great ministry. And we loved our church, loved Amy's church. And then after 6 years of doing that, the Lord brought us to our first and only pastorate, the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple in Mount Vernon, Ohio, where for 15 years I had the joy and privilege of being the senior pastor there. And I say this wherever I go. One of the most difficult things I've ever had to do in ministry was resign from Mount Vernon Baptist. And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, we were able to see the Lord do some amazing things there. And I want you to know this, God receives all the glory for that. We were just along for the ride, and we were thankful to be a part of that ride, and God receives all the glory. But the main reason why it was difficult to resign is we just absolutely positively love our church family. And for 15 years, I had the joy and privilege of watching our church family love on my family. I don't know, honestly, if my church family loved me that much. I don't know if they really cared for me that much, but they sure loved my family. And what joy that brings a husband, a father, a pastor, to be a part of that and to witness that. And here's the issue. I knew if I resigned, I would never be able to go back and pastor those wonderful people ever again. And so it was a huge step of faith. And yet God made it abundantly clear that it was His will. And He did so through a missions trip. And I went on one missions trip with Worldview Ministries, and one missions trip turned into six missions trips. And while I was on these missions trips, I was made aware of a statistic that has changed our life. And that statistic is this, and many of you probably already know this, but more than half of the languages of the world do not have a Bible. You can see right up there, there's 7,394 languages in the world today. And I have to tell you this, I did not know that as a pastor. I had no idea. I knew there was about 8 billion or so people in the world, had no idea, 7,000 languages. Now please, allow this next statistic to go from your head to your heart. Of the 7,000 languages in the world today, 3,736 of them do not have one verse of Scripture in their language. Not one verse. And that absolutely floored me. I could not comprehend that. You can press a button and send an email to the other side of the world in seconds, and almost 4,000 people groups are still waiting for a verse of Scripture in their language. Here's a question. Where would you be tonight without the Word of God in our own language? How about this question? Where would our country be without the Bible in our language? You know this. I know you know this. Our country was founded on biblical principles, and sadly, we're getting more and more wicked every day. Where would we be as a nation, if at all, if we had not been founded on the Word of God? And yet, almost 4,000 people groups are still waiting for even one verse of Scripture in their language. Now, here's a little object lesson that I hope puts things into perspective. That's my prayer, anyway. Let's pretend in our country we have no Bible. Just pretend we have no Bible. And a missionary from another country comes to our country. Now, we're not used to that, are we? We're not used to missionaries don't come to America, right? We send out missionaries. Well, listen, if we didn't have a Bible, I would hope and pray missionaries would come to our country. Amen. And a missionary comes to your door, knocks on your door, shows you a Bible. Now, you can't read their Bible. You don't know their language. They're speaking to you through an interpreter. They're still learning our language. Now, think about this. They tell you of the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time. It's the first time you've ever heard of Jesus. What would you do? Well, you could believe everything that that missionary says. And praise the Lord, that does happen, doesn't it? As missionaries give the power of the gospel all over the world. What would be your second option? Your second option would be to do this. Learn their language. Why? So that you could read it for yourself. So that you could verify for yourself what that missionary is saying, that it is true. That would be very difficult for me. Especially if it was, say, the Romanian language. There's a Bible verse in the Romanian language. Maybe someone here speaks Romanian. Or how about this? the language of Thailand. Same Bible verse. That looks a little bit like my handwriting. Okay. But same Bible verse, just a different language. Or how about this? The number one language in the world today. By the way, it's not English. It's Mandarin Chinese. If someone said, Bill, in order for you to understand what God has to say to you, you have to learn the Mandarin Chinese language, I would be in trouble. Maybe that doesn't describe you. Maybe you do well in learning languages. I do not. I don't do good in language. Excuse me. I don't do well in language. I'm still learning English, as you can tell. I speak fluent hillbilly in English as a second language, as Dr. Ken Fielder says. And so the point is this. When we see that same Bible verse in what is called our heart language, it means a whole lot more to us. Amen? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we read this in our mother tongue or our heart language, God can reach our heart. And the simple point of the object lesson is this, that almost 4,000 people groups in the world today cannot read John 3:16 in their heart language as you're reading it right now in your heart language, if, of course, English is indeed your heart language. And so that is why Worldview Ministry started. Worldview Ministry started to do two things, to train Bible translators so they can translate the scriptures for those who are still waiting for a verse of scripture in their language. God has blessed our ministry tremendously. Now, this is just going to scroll on its own, but God has given us nine Bible translation projects in six different countries. We have projects in India, Uganda, China, Tibet, Myanmar, a brand new project in the country of Iran we're very excited about. And all of these projects that you're seeing right now, they're going on even now as we speak through faith, meaning that God is using Christians, God is using churches to give monetarily so these projects can continue to go on. Well, I have some good news for you. After 11 years, Worldview Ministries has completed two New Testaments, one for a people group in Myanmar and another for a people group in Africa. And this is the one for the people group in Uganda, Africa. This is for the Runyon Kore people of Uganda, Africa. And this New Testament took 11 years, 200 man hours a week. It cost from start to finish right around $250,000. And it represents a people group of over 5 million people. 5 million people now have a New Testament. And by the way, the Old Testament has already been, it's already been started. It's our desire to give the entire Bible to Bible-less people groups. And so we're very excited about that. Pastor, have you all seen this video? No? Okay. So I have good news. In 2019, I had the joy and privilege of going to Uganda with our Worldview team. We hosted a Bible dedication ceremony where we officially handed this New Testament over to the Runyon Kore people of Uganda. It was one of the highlights of my life to be there. And through a video, we're all going to take a quick trip to Uganda. I hope you have your passports ready. And you're going to sit in through video on this Bible dedication ceremony. And I know it will be a blessing to you. Just a few things about what you're going to see. It was very well attended. I talked to three men. They traveled 14 hours on a bus. They didn't want to miss the ceremony. You're going to see some very colorful, vibrant outfits. And we didn't know this until after the fact, Pastor, but this was such a big day, such an important day for the Runyon Kore people. Many of the ladies wore their wedding dress to the ceremony. And then you hear singing, but no one is leading singing from the platform. But what had happened was when we started handing out the Bibles, the Runyon Kore congregation started waving their Bibles in the air and singing their thank you to the Lord because they had been given such a precious gift. And then they concluded by reading together John 3:16 for the first time as a congregation. Again, it was one of the highlights of my life. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. We'll go ahead and show that video at this time.
The first time I held in my hand a copy of the Running Quarter New Testament, I was overwhelmed with emotion. The joy of being part of a translation for a people who need the Word of God so desperately.
When we came, God was already working. God had put together something here that I couldn't have written this beginning like we found. They were already concerned about having a Bible that was accurate. They were already working on translation work. To be able to bring them through the original language, the Greek, and give them the tools, kind of work with them through the process and develop this process really from the ground up. I didn't know we could do all that. You know, it was one of those things. I didn't come here knowing this is the way this is all going to work. But God led us every step of the way.
We wanted to have an accurate translation so that churches that are built on a sure foundation. One that won't move, one that won't be subject to time, but one that will clearly reflect the mind of God in today's generations.
It is God's word. We don't want to change it. We don't want to dilute it. We don't want to create our own.
We strive to produce the most accurate translation possible. A Bible they can trust, a Bible they can read and know this is the Word of God in our language.
We spent many, many years on this work of translation. To me, it is worthy, more than worthy.
These Ugandan Christians, to see the joy on their faces, to think of the power of God's written word in the hands of dedicated Ugandan Christians.
We supported missionaries to Africa for years. We've heard stories. We've seen slides and videos. But to be here yourself touched my heart.
There have been many, many books written by men, but only one book written by God.
This was such great joy.
I present the completed Running Quarter New Testament.
We want to give this precious word of God. You pastors ministering in this country, be used for the glory of God.
Seeing the people today as they received a copy of God's word, the spontaneous joy, the singing that originated from the congregation, not being led by someone on the platform, and lifting their Bibles in the air and shouting praise to the Lord.
I broke into tears. I was just thinking about how blessed we are to have the scripture. You know, we just sometimes take it for granted. And to see the joy on their face.
I think you have seen even on their faces how they are happy, how they are rejoicing in raising that Bible up.
To finally have something that now we can say, here it is, here's God's word, and we can give it to them in their language. It's a huge moment.
The people we have given the Bibles, the New Testament, it is going to change their life.
Today was a marvelous day, both in my life and my ministry, because you can now tell them from the pulpit and say, when you go home, read this, you know they have the Bible.
When reading it in their language, God will be speaking to their hearts. God will be speaking to them. I think it will change many hearts.
We want to see this happen over and over. There are over 3,700 language groups that still do not have one verse of scripture. and our burden is to provide the scripture in as many of those languages as possible. We thank the Lord for the churches who have partnered with us to get this far for the Running Kori people, and we long to see this day repeated many times over.
I trust that was a blessing to you. We never tire of seeing that video. We've seen it dozens and dozens and dozens of times. If you have any questions about our ministry, we'd love to answer those after the service. Come by and see us. We'll be in the foyer. But again, Pastor, thank you for the privilege of giving that update. I know you're familiar with Worldview, and we're just so thankful for your love for the Lord and His Word. It is evident. And so we are so thankful for you all as well. I'm going to ask you, I invite you to take your Bibles. And aren't you thankful we have a Bible? Amen. And if you will, open to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter number 11. So here's a question that if I was giving an invitation right now, and I'm not giving an invitation right now, but if I were, I would ask you this question. And you don't have to answer out loud. This is spiritual inventory. This is you looking inwardly and taking spiritual inventory. But here's the question. What is the one thing that you know God wants you to do? It's difficult for you to do, and it would require a step of faith. Let me say that again. What is the one thing that you know without a shadow of a doubt, God wants me to do this? It's difficult for me to do that, and it would require a step of faith. Maybe it's to get baptized. Maybe it's to join the church. Maybe you had a bad experience one time in a church and you say, oh, I just get nervous about joining a church. Maybe it's about getting involved with a ministry here at this church. Maybe it's to witness to someone. Maybe it's to witness to a difficult person. Maybe it's to forgive someone. Maybe it's to surrender your life to whatever God has for you. Maybe it's to give monetarily to a project of your church. I don't know what it is. I'm certainly not the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to prime the pump and get us thinking, because I think if we're all to be honest with each other, we would say that when we're given that question, something usually will just come right to the top. We know exactly what it is that God wants us to do. It's difficult for us to do. It would require a step of faith. With that in mind, look at Hebrews 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not empty. It has evidence. Amen. Faith is not shallow. It has substance. Faith's evidence and faith's substance has a name, and it's called obedience. We know that to be true, don't we? You can go all the way back to Genesis and go all the way to Revelation and look at every book in between. And I think that we will see that the evidence of faith, the substance of faith, is called obedience. Now, if you're like me, I hope you're not like me, but if you're like me, I love to talk about faith. Brother Bob, I love to talk about faith. I love to sing about faith. But can I say this? I don't always like to talk about obedience. But can I say this? You can't separate the two. You can't. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. We sing it as children. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. But we sing it as older children. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So the evidence of faith, the substance of faith, is called obedience. Now, here's what we're going to find. We're going to find that the Great Hall of Faith chapter, the great chapter on faith, is nothing more than the evidence of faith for all of these people in it. And here's something. What God asked them to do, oftentimes was not easy. It was a challenge. It was difficult. So with that in mind, let's do this. Let's look at three evidences of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Just three. We can't look at all of them. We're going to just pick out a couple people here. All right. So point number one, if you like to take notes, if you don't like to take notes, you can, just pretend like you're taking notes or, you know, fill out your grocery list, whatever. But here's the deal. Point number one is this. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it doesn't seem logical. Key word there, logical. Sometimes faith is taking the step of obedience even though it might not make sense to us. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it doesn't seem logical. Now, it's always logical to obey God. Amen? But sometimes when God tells us to do something, it doesn't make sense. God, you want me to forgive them? You don't know what they did to me. Well, God does know what they did to you. He still says that we are to forgive even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven who? Us, right? So, even though, you know, it doesn't make sense to us, God says forgive, right? God says that we're to witness. And we say, well, certainly, God, that doesn't make sense because you created me and I'm an introvert. So you know that. So I get a pass. I don't have to witness to anyone. I don't have to tell anyone about Jesus because you made me an introvert. Well, no, we're all to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's only one reason why God has given us another year on this earth, another month, another week, another day, another breath, and that is to tell people about Jesus. That's why we exist. That's our marching orders. That's God's will for our life, right? That's why we're here. So I'm simply saying this. Sometimes when God tells us to do something, in our mind, it doesn't make sense. Here's a Bible illustration. Verse number 7. By faith, Noah. Now, what did Noah do by faith? Well, we all know he built an ark, right? But please do not overlook the fine print. Don't overlook the fine print. By faith, Noah, here's the fine print, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. That's staggering. Noah, build an ark. Oh, what's an ark? Well, Noah, an ark is something you need when there's a flood. Oh, that's a new word. I haven't heard that one before. What's a flood? And we would say, Noah, a flood is something that takes place when there's lots and lots and lots of rain. And Noah would look you right in the eye, scratch his head and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what rain is. Do you get the picture? Sometimes faith is taking the step of obedience, even though we don't have it all figured out up here. Sometimes faith is saying, God, I see what you want me to do in your word, and I'm going to do it, even though it may not make sense up here. Now here's a more modern day illustration, maybe. And Pastor did not ask me to mention this. This is my own personal testimony. But biblical giving, I believe, is an illustration of this truth. Biblical giving makes no sense on paper. Do you know that? It doesn't. This is biblical giving. Whenever God gives to us, we are to give back to Him when? First. Right? First fruits. We are to give back to Him first. Now that doesn't make any sense. This is what we think. If the very first check I write when I get paid, and by the way, I'm thankful I grew up in a home where my dad and my mom taught me that. I really am. I didn't have to struggle with that later on in life because I was taught that as a boy. So if the very first check I write is to the Lord whenever I get paid, guess what? At the end of the month, I won't have any money left over for this, that, or the other. And on paper, you'd be right. But what have we done? We've just thrown faith right out the window. And I know this about you. All over the sanctuary tonight, we could have testimony after testimony after testimony of Christians that could stand and say this, you know, even though I didn't really get it at the time when I trusted God with my finances, God has blessed my finances ever since. Folks, listen, listen. That is faith. That's faith. Sometimes faith is obeying God when it doesn't seem logical. Point number two. Sometimes faith, from our text, sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. When it's not comfortable. All kinds of illustrations in our text. Gideon, 32,000 men down to 300. Moses leaving all of the comforts of Israel, of Egypt to go travel around in the wilderness. Joshua walking around those walls. All kinds of illustrations. But look at verse 17. Would you look at verse 17? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as an offering. Offer him as a burnt offering. Offer him as a sacrifice. Wow. You talk about uncomfortable. We joke. I have five boys, and there have been times that I've thought about doing this. But no, if God were to tell me to do it, you talk about uncomfortable, right? Yes, because sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not comfortable. I love this point because if we had the time, you would be the perfect illustration to prove this point. Now, we don't have the time, but we could do this, and we could go around the sanctuary and we could ask you this question. What difficult thing did God ask you to do years ago when you were first saved that at the time it was a big deal, but now years later it's not that big of a deal? Do you remember the first time the pastor said, who would like to stand and give a testimony? And you were just saved a few weeks and God told you to give a testimony. And so you stood and through a quivering voice, you gave a testimony because why? God told you to do it. Listen, listen, that's faith. That's faith. Do you remember the first time you handed out a gospel tract? Do you remember the first time you gave the gospel to someone? Do you remember the first time you witnessed to a family member? Do you remember the first time you wrote that tithe check? Maybe your hand was shaking as you wrote that check out. Do you remember the first time you taught Sunday school? Maybe there was only five little kids in that class and it felt like 500. You were scared to death. Yet you did it. Why? Because God told you to do it. Church family, that's faith. That's faith. Now, before we look at our last point, I need to ask this question. This begs the question. Church family tonight, when is the last time, and I'm speaking to me, when is the last time we've been uncomfortable? Is it that God cannot think of any more things for us to do? No. Is it that we have reached spiritual perfection? I have reached the pinnacle of spirituality. There's no more room for spiritual growth. No, we know better than that. Maybe, just maybe, we have gotten content to be content and we just don't want to be uncomfortable anymore. Oh, may the Lord always help us to not stop growing in faith. To not see our faith strengthened and increased. You know this to be true. What is our Christian walk? What is our Christian life? It is nothing more than this. One step of faith, after another step of faith, after another step of faith, after another step of faith. Can you remember the last step of faith that you've taken? Sometimes faith is trusting God, or obeying God rather, even when it's not comfortable. Lastly, from our text, sometimes faith, number three, sometimes faith is obeying God when it's not desirable. Desirable. We all know what this means. This means this. I know what God wants me to do. I even know if I do it, He will bless me. But But I can be just stubborn enough to fold my arms and say, uh-uh. Here's an illustration, or there's many illustrations in our text in Hebrews 11. Every person mentioned, from Abraham to David, is an illustration of this truth. Why? Because they have something we all have. It's called a will. And when God told them to do something, they could say yes or they could say no. They could humble their heart or they could harden their heart. They could soften their heart or stiffen their neck. But mark it down, they would not be in the hall of faith if they didn't learn to say what? Not my will, but thine be done, right? And so that's a decision we all have to make every moment of every day. So I'm going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? And so sometimes faith is just saying, God, I don't want to do this right now. I don't want to invite my neighbor to church. They blew grass clippings over on my driveway. I don't want to be nice to that person. I don't want to show up for that church activity. I've worked hard. I'm tired. And sometimes faith is saying this, Lord, I don't want to do this right now, but I love you. And I'm going to do it because I know you want me to do it. Hey, that is faith. That's faith. By the way, this is exciting. When we obey God, even when we don't want to, God in time changes our want to. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. And every one of you know that. You would have a testimony of that here tonight. Forgive me for using our family as a illustration on a sermon on faith. When God started to work in my life about being a missionary with Worldview Ministries, I must confess to you, I didn't want to do it. It took a while for me to jump in with both feet and obey. You say, Brother Bill, why? Why wouldn't you want to serve with Worldview Ministries? It's a great ministry. 4,000 people groups without one verse of scripture. And listen, you're translating Bibles for people that don't have one. What an exciting ministry. Why wouldn't you want to get involved with this ministry? I'll give you three reasons. At the time, 8 years ago, it was not logical, comfortable, or desirable. It was not logical to resign from a church that I think I could have retired from. It wasn't comfortable to say goodbye to a church family we love dearly. It wasn't comfortable to jump into deputation for the first time at age 47 with a family of seven. Our firstborn was going off to college. I looked at my last paycheck knowing that I'm not getting paid anymore. We're going to go from church to church to church and hope that we can pay our bills. Scared to death to do that. It wasn't comfortable, wasn't logical at the time, wasn't comfortable at the time. And then for a long time, it wasn't desirable. And I will tell you this, I don't share this all over, but the thing that really prevented me from jumping in sooner was deputation. Scared me to death, deputation. And so I remember arguing with the Lord about it. And my wife knows this. It was over a period of time that we wrestled and we discussed it and we talked about it. We talked about it a lot. And I remember arguing with the Lord and having these conversations with the Lord and saying things like this, stupid things. I remember saying stupid things like this. Lord, just for the record, I don't want to do this, but I will pastor another church if that's what you're doing in my heart. Knowing that's not what God was doing in my heart. And I said something stupid like this, Lord, for the record, I don't want to do this, but I will teach at a Bible college or serve in a Bible college if they would have me. And God said, that's not what I have for you. And I remember even saying this, Lord, for the record, I don't necessarily want to do this, but I'll be a church planting missionary where I can go to a field and still be a what? A pastor, right? And I remember the day that God got a hold of my heart, I was sitting in my office. And I received an email from the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. That would be really cool though, wouldn't it? No, I received an email from a missionary that we supported, and at the end of his newsletter, he wrote something that I know was from the Lord. I wrote it in my Bible, and this is what he said. If you are considering God's calling to foreign missions, do not fear. We can boldly say with the Apostle Paul, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And I remember I started to cry. I stood up at my desk and I said, okay, God, I know what you want me to do. And we as a family, and bless the Lord for my wife stepping out on my faith, if you can believe it. And we took the step of obedience. And here's the point. God has blessed every step of the way. God receives all the glory. God receives all the credit. God did some amazing things, miraculous things, we would say. But when did he do those things? When we decided to obey him and take the step of faith. And so look at verse 6 in closing. We'll close with this, verse number 6. Verse number 6 tells us that this is how the Lord is and how he works. Verse number 6 of Hebrews 11, it's a familiar verse, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He's a rewarder, amen, of them that diligently seek him. Now this is not some TV evangelist, name it, claim it, prosperity, cotton candy, Christianity. That's not what this is. This is simply saying that when we do what God tells us to do, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is pleased with our faith. God notices my faith. God takes note of your faith when you do what he tells you to do. Verse number 6 has meant so much to our family in the transition from pastor to missionary, because verse number 6 has taught us this truth. That God can bless us better than we can bless ourselves. And church family, God can bless you better than you can bless yourself. We just need to be found faithful. We need to be found walking by faith, not by sight. Years ago, we were sitting around the table on a Saturday night. I'll close with this. We'll be done. And there was a bag of potato chips on the table. And my third son, our third son, Chad, was just about this tall at the time. And he was sitting next to me. And he said, Daddy, may I have some potato chips? And I said, yes, go ahead, take some potato chips. He asked me 3 times. And I didn't know this. He didn't take any potato chips. So he asked me and I said, yes, have some potato chips. I was talking to Amy. I turned, he hadn't taken any. So he interrupts again. Daddy, may I have some potato? I said, yes, yes. Chad, go ahead, take some potato chips. I turn, I'm talking to Amy and he doesn't take any. So he interrupts a third time, which is the unpardonable sin if you're a father. Like, we only have so much patience. That's how God made us. No, I'm just kidding. And so he interrupts a third time. And by this time, you start having evil thoughts about your offspring, right? Like, I am going to feed him a potato chip with a slingshot. These are the evil thoughts you have as a father. And I said, son, what? Daddy, he's almost in tears. Daddy. May I have some potato chips? I said, yes. And this time I wasn't going to talk. I just stared at him. Take some potato chips. And this is what he said to me. He said, no, Daddy, no. He's almost in tears. He said, no, Daddy, no, you do it. You do it, Daddy. Your hand is bigger than my hand. Your hand is bigger than my hand. And when he said that, I remember thinking, wow, my father's hand is so much bigger than my hand. God can bless me a whole lot better than I can bless myself. And church family, God's hand's bigger than your hand. Amen. God can bless you better than you can bless yourself. We just need to be found faithful. So I end where I started. Invitation question. Just to get you thinking. What is it that you know God wants you to do? It's difficult. There's no question about it. It would require a step of faith. May God give us the humility and the courage to do what we know he wants us to do. Yes, for our good, more importantly, for his glory, because that's why we exist. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of studying your word. Thank you for these dear folks who have come out in the middle of a busy week to serve you, worship you, fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the bright light that is the Heartland Baptist Fellowship, not only here in this community, but around the world as it is evident. They have a heart for missions. Lord, help us to be found faithful. Help us to be found walking by faith, not by sight. For our good and your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Well, that was really good, brother. Thank you so much. Before we jump into the prayer meeting portion of the service, man, what is it that God is asking us to obey Him in? I love that. That was such a good admonition. And I was sitting there reverse engineering it, and thinking about what is it that what is our logic, leaving us? We're in bondage to our own logic. We're afraid to trust God for His word over our own logic. And what comfort, the old frog that boils in the pot. We're so comfortable. What's keeping us so comfortable that we won't obey the Lord? And, the undesirable, right? Are we just pleasing ourselves so much that we can't dare think about allowing God to work through something that we might not find desirable? So what a great admonition, right, to trust the Lord to reward us. And I thank you, appreciate that, brother. That was a good word. And I appreciate what Worldview is doing around the world. And I do think they're on the front lines. Some of the testimonies of the men that they support and the couples, I should say the families, tremendous. I mean, just unbelievable. But it is believable. And that ministry is full of people that are definitely doing some remarkable things. And when you get into that, one thing about taking the Bible anywhere in the world, spiritual persistence brings satanic resistance. There's no doubt about it. And so there's a lot of difficulties and things that come. I'm not saying with our brother here necessarily, but I know the testimonies. I've heard the testimonies. I've been in the room with some of the missionaries with Worldview and some of the people that they're training. And there's a price to pay. And I appreciate what they're doing, and they're willing to do that for the gospel's sake. And some of the health issues some of the young families have faced, some of the difficulties and the challenges. I'm not just talking about leaving their culture and being in a different culture. I'm talking about just some of these obstacles that come along while they're trying to accomplish God's mission and God's power for God's glory. It's a walk of faith. So it takes faithful people to get the word where it needs to go on time. And I'm thankful for Dr. Fielder. I'm thankful for our brother, Bill, and thankful for all of our partners that are involved in getting the word where it needs to go and also in the translation work. There's not a lot of people, actually, when you get into the translation side of ministry that hold to a faithful word and are willing to translate and are able to. So the bulk of it's being done by critical text folks. And so I'm really, really, really thankful for folks that are, translating, from a faithful source. And so that really, it tickles my liver. And so, not really, but I mean, that's a metaphor. Anyway, so that's a good thing. So, all right. Well, what's God calling you to do obediently as our brother Fennel was going through all of that? Was there something that you could identify and you're like, man, I need to just let go and let God. I need to quit trying and die and just let God, trust God with this or that. And so those are things that we all need to be contemplating tonight. I don't see any guests. I do see a guest, but you're like not a guest. You've been here 2 or 3 weeks now, so you're home folk. But we don't have any folks here that I don't know your testimony, which is not good. We need to go out and go to the highways and hedges and bring some folks that we don't have to bring them here. We can just bring them to Christ right where they're at, and then bring them here to get discipled and sent. So. Let's make sure we're praying over that as we need to fill up our ranks for Christ's sake. And part of that is getting ourselves in a situation where we're willing to do that, which we may not desire right now, but we'll trust God for later, getting uncomfortable, right, and getting in the place where we do what we can't talk ourselves out of because the Word of God compels us, right? So praise the Lord. All right, so let's do this. Let's go ahead and we'll do what we did a couple weeks ago. I want to pray over this family as they're going to travel 18 hours to Salt Lake City, and then they got a Western United States tour coming up. So we want to pray for them as they travel. And also, as we're getting ready to pray, we need to pray over Larry Onweiler's